Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
That's going to be a tough act to follow, I tell you what. You guys did great. if they had a hard time filming it or whatever, you can. It'll be on our website later today or this evening. It's a YouTube page, just Coop Prairie. And if you have trouble finding it, just your family member or you guys can text me and I'll send you the link to make sure everybody gets it. And so that was a wonderful job. I mean, the courage that it takes for them little ones to get up here. You can't hardly get adults to stand up here and talk or sing. And so I'm real proud of them. They did a great job. Today, what I want to talk to you about is the miracle of hope. that Jesus brought. And if you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the Christmas story. And, you know, every year I've been preaching here 13, 14 years, something like that. And it's hard sometimes for Christmas, like, how do you come up with a new Christmas story? But do we really need to come up with a new Christmas story? No, we don't. But looking at it from different angles and different ways. And Luke chapter 2, verse 1, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cornelius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, we look around and all the Christmas celebrations, all the things that's going on, and it's easy to forget what Christmas is truly about. We think of Santa Claus, we think of gifts, we think of food and candy and all these other things, shopping and the crowds, and we forget sometimes what Christmas is truly about. And what's crazy to me is all the people that celebrate Christmas that don't even profess to know Jesus and don't even believe in these stories, but yet they still celebrate Christmas, and it's become about the gifts and Santa Claus and everything. But this is what we're truly celebrating during this season, is this child, this baby that was born here. Verse 8, and there was shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." I want to talk about, just for a moment here, the angel says, I bring good news of great joy for all people. So that's for all of us today. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter. It's good news for each and every one of us today that a Savior was born for you and for me. There's many miracles that we could talk about. The miracles of the prophecies that was fulfilled, and that's even gets wow. It's all overwhelming sometimes to research and look at all the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And I thought, you know, just think about that. Him being predicted to where he would be born was written at 680 to 740 years before he was born. In Micah 5:2, it says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." I want y'all to think about that for just a minute. Let's say that I today made a bold prediction that in 700 years there'd be a child born in Mansfield, Arkansas, that's going to rule. You guys would say, with 700 years, who cares if you predict it or not? None of us will be here to know if it's truth or not. But see, Jesus fulfilled so many prophecies to show that what was being said about Him was true. The virgin birth was written about hundreds of years before He was born in Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we will call Him Emmanuel." So there's miracle after miracle after miracle in this little story here. We still celebrate it today. That's a miracle in of itself, 2,000 years later, and we're still celebrating Jesus. In years past, I've talked about Mary and what she had to face, an unwed mother, an unwed woman being pregnant and what could have happened to her, and she could have been stoned. She could have had all these horrible things face her. But in Luke 1:38, she says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. When the angel told her that she would be with child, and she said, "May God's will be done in my life," she was willing to face no matter what it was. That's a miracle in and of itself. Joseph, believing that this woman that he was engaged to, that he was supposed to wed, all at once ends up pregnant. And for him to not kick her out, to not, you know, I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself. But he believed what the angel said to him. Elizabeth bearing John the Baptist, there's miracle after miracle after miracle, okay? But I want to jump a little further in Luke 2 to verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arm and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.'" You see what he's saying there? "My eyes have seen your salvation." Simeon had been waiting on this, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he'd been waiting, and all at once when this Jesus came in, and he recognized, the Holy Spirit revealed to him who Jesus was. Y'all, that's for you and for me today, that He is our salvation, that this was a miracle, that He was born, and that what He would do for you and me 2,000 years later, that He's still doing for us, that He would be our salvation. And I want you to think about what all salvation means. It means rescuer, safety, deliverer, health. And Jesus wants to be your deliverer today. And you know, and I was reading this and thinking about this, and I was thinking about when my kids were little and holding them in my arms when they were first babies. And I think even about some of your kids that I've held when they were little. And when you're looking at your little baby, what do you think? You have hope. You think of what they might become. You pray for them and you think, what could this child be someday? And you know, they might be a doctor, a lawyer. They might be a janitor, a truck driver. But whatever they are, God, I just pray that they'll be happy and that they'll be healthy and that you'll watch over them. And you have all these thoughts of what your babies could become. Simeon, when he looked at Jesus, he saw what he was, and he was our salvation. He was our deliverer. John 14:6 says, "Jesus answered, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" Y'all, in this time, in this world that we're living in today, there's so many that think that there's some way to get to heaven other than Jesus. There's not. There's not. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I'd rather offend you now and you come to know Jesus and be in heaven someday with me than me not to say anything and you be lost in hell for eternity. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 1:18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Can I tell you something? The wrath of God is coming someday to bring judgment upon this earth. And when we look at what Jesus is to us, and that He is our salvation, He is our deliverer, that we can be saved from that coming wrath. For Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The wages of sin is death. That's what each and every one of us deserve. We're all sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life. And see, what Jesus Christ has come to do is bring salvation and bring deliverance from that sin, bring deliverance from that evil. The miracle that we really should look at this morning is the miracle of hope, that He has made a way for you and for me where we were lost, where we were bound by sin, that He's made a way for you and for me to be delivered from that life of what we once lived. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." I want y'all to think about that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's you and me today, that when you're lost and you have no way, you don't know what to do, you don't know how you're gonna make it. But He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." What a miracle that Jesus was for you and for me. Freedom. Who's bound up this morning in addiction and in the disease and sin? And you're just so bound up. Jesus says, I came to bring you freedom. To regain sight for the blind. Some this morning, you don't see a way out of the destruction that you're living in. You don't see a way out. You don't understand maybe even what I'm talking about here. It just is like a foreign thing to you. And right now, the Holy Spirit may be pricking at your heart this morning, trying to get you to open up your eyes so that you can see, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus Christ, the miracle that He brought us is hope that we can have freedom this morning, that we no longer have to be prisoners to sin and death and destruction. Romans 5, and we're going to finish up here in just a second. We're almost there. Romans 5, 6 says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, we always think about at Christmas, and you see these displays and a little baby in a manger and the wise men gathered around bringing their gift. And for many, that's where it ends at. It's a baby being born and we celebrate it, and that's where it ends at. But see, it didn't end there, as Jesus went on. And He became an atoning sacrifice on that cross for you and for me and for our sin. God demonstrated His own love for us in this, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It says, "Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him?" I talked about a minute ago the wrath of God in Romans 1:18 being revealed against all those who do wicked. The wrath of God is coming, but now, through Jesus Christ, we can be saved from the wrath of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." You think about reconciliation, and it's being able to come back together. It's being able to be rejoined. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. And I want to end with this quick message this morning. In Acts 2, verse 36, and I think this says the gospel better than I can even say it. Acts 2:36, it says, "Therefore let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Turn away from this sinful life and ask Jesus Christ, this baby that we celebrate the birth of, who grew into a man who hung on a cross for your and my sins. We give our lives over to Him. We make Him Lord of our life. We ask for forgiveness. We turn away from our sins. We're baptized and we're filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can have a new life, that our eyes can be opened, that we no longer have to live in that captivity of sin, but we can be set free. And I want to read these last two verses here, 40 and 41. With many other words, He warned them and He pleaded with them, "Save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Does our world seem like it's in a mess? Does our political system, our prisons, our even our jobs, does everything seem like it's just a mess right now? Does this world seem like it's going crazy? I can't even hardly stand to watch commercials anymore because of the filth that's even commercials advertising clothes and things like that. It's just ridiculous what our country has become. And here he's pleading with them and warning them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Maybe you've been getting sucked into it. Maybe you don't even realize how far gone you've become. But this baby Jesus that we're celebrating, away in a manger, grew up to be a Savior for you and for me this morning. And I ask you, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. If we've ever thought about it before, in the climate of times that we're living in, and we're scared of getting COVID. We're scared of all these different diseases. And we know people, probably everybody in this room knows somebody personally or has had a family member affected and even died from it. You don't know when your time's up. And so I'm going to plead with you this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to do it. And if you have and you're a child of God, then let's celebrate. Not only the birth of Jesus, but Him dying on the cross for yours and mine sin. The hope that He's given us. The hope that this life isn't it. This life isn't it. That there's an eternity waiting for each and every one of us. If you would, please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before You now and I thank You. I thank You for these children that came and sang for us this morning. Lord, I thank You for all of our guests and all of our family that are here. And Father, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would be at work in every heart in this room, Lord, whether we've been Christians 20, 30, 40, 50 years or we've never accepted You as our personal Savior. Father, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit would be at work in every life. Lord, for those that have never accepted You, Father, right now, may their eyes be open. May they come to understand their need for You as their personal Lord and Savior. May they repent. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit so convict their heart that they could not get comfortable until they fall down on their knees and cry out to You to become their Lord and Savior. And Father, for all my brothers and sisters in Christ in this room this morning, Father, if we've been distracted by shopping and gift giving and dinners and trying to cram in everybody for Christmas, Lord, if we've been distracted by all that and have not stopped to thank You, have not stopped to celebrate what Christmas is truly about, You coming to this earth, being born of a virgin, Lord, setting an example in the life that You lived, of how we should live our life. And Father, dying on the cross for my sin and for whoever will accept You as Lord and Savior's sin. Lord, may we celebrate that now. May we not be distracted by all the cares and worries of this life, but may we celebrate who You truly are and what You truly mean to each and every one of us. May Thy will be done now. in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning for anything, don't hesitate to come to these altars. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, today's the day. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised this afternoon. We're not promised our next breath. Today is the day. If you hear His voice calling you, don't resist. Years and years ago that I'd heard, and so I don't know if I'm going to tell it just right, but for Jesus to fulfill all the prophecies that He fulfilled would be like if you took the state of Texas and filled it with silver dollars, and I can't remember if He said 3 or 5 foot deep, and put a red mark on one of them, and then you flew in a helicopter and bungee jumped out of the helicopter down and grabbed one coin and picked it up, and it was that one coin with the red mark. I don't know if I'm telling that, if it was 2, 3, 4 foot, 5 foot deep. That's the likelihood of what it was for Jesus to fulfill the prophecies. That's amazing, y'all. There's no doubt in my mind Jesus is our Savior. No doubt. No doubt. And if you've never come to accept Him as your Savior, please don't miss an opportunity. We don't know. There's things happening. I'm not an end-time Bible prophecy guy. There's things happening in this world, though, that... Look at the stars tomorrow. That's all I tell you. Look at... Google it. Look. Find it. Stuff's happening in the skies that's... That hadn't happened in 700, 800 years. You look at COVID, you look at everything going on, but maybe it's a few more hundred years before Jesus comes back. But the reality is we don't know how much time we have ourselves. Don't miss the opportunity to not celebrate Christmas as gifts and Santa Claus, but it's your Savior, your personal Savior was born. Make Him Lord of your life if you hadn't already. I hope you guys have a fantastic Christmas. I'd love to come down and hug all your neck and shake all your hands. You guys know I'm a handshaker and a hugger, but I don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable with COVID and everything going on. So here's your hug, everybody. Here's your handshake, and y'all have a blessed day and a Merry Christmas.